We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I'm excited first to welcome my co-host, Kim Sorrell, author of Love Is. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I am doing great, Neil. Thank you so much. And I am very excited about our guest. First of all, he's an Olympiad. I want to hear more about that. But Sean McClellan, the things that you are doing through Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is amazing to me. You've graduated over half a million students.
We have.
And I went to your website and I saw where a young woman saved somebody's life because of your program. And so welcome to the program. I know that you've been at your job for about 6 years and we're just excited to hear about it.
That's wonderful. Thank you for having me. Such an honor. I've watched a bunch of your show as well. So this is great fun.
Oh, I appreciate it for sure. And how did that all start for you? Like the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, how did it go? How did it become what it has become today?
You know, really over the last 10 years, they really, they saw the need and strictly because kids are on devices and they just spend so much time on video games and everything in between. So between that and the love for nature, that's where this was really born out of. And seeing that need is something that drove us to create this 2-semester long outdoor education program.
It's an incredible program that is doing incredible things. Hopefully it spreads like wildfire. You've just recently gotten a nice size grant to help do that. Can you talk about that a bit?
Oh my gosh. The International Order of T. Roosevelt. And they stand for everything that we do. And they're really targeting so many different specific research and conservation projects. And then the education side of what they do, they just gave us a $100,000 grant to help scale and accelerate our education program. And it's just phenomenal, just incredible what they're doing.
Now, finding an opportunity like that to get that kind of grant really changes a foundation's game, right? It changes the ability to fund, to come up with activities, allow more kids to be involved, right? For the money that you've been able to get from the grant.
So much so. And what's really incredible here, especially on a grant this size, we can put that directly into reaching the very next school. So we have our Outdoor Adventures program is a 180-hour, 2-semester-long outdoor ed course. And as you know, the outdoors has no bias. It doesn't matter how fast you are, tall you are, or your socioeconomic status. So we typically teach this as a physical education course. And funding like this just helps us accelerate that. And by the way, we're reaching about 75% urban schools around the country. So we're primarily an urban program. As you can figure, a lot of those kids just never get off the concrete. So with funding like this, we're able to reach the very next school that typically doesn't have a budget for PE. So it's either going to be sitting in the bleachers, playing dodgeball, or learning about camping, fishing, and the outdoors.
Yes, I would love for you to talk more about how the program works exactly, because there's so much to it. There's some of your background, some shooting, I think, is involved in fishing and camping and kind of everything to do with outside. How does the program work?
Especially on the Olympic side, I shot international skeets, which is a clay target game in the Olympics. And I'm a competitive person, first and foremost. So I'm able to translate that inner competitiveness and drive that forward to trying to reach kids that are never going to experience the outdoors. And I'm an outdoorsman. My wife and kids are as well. And we just love it. And I know if I work on an individual community program that I'm going to reach kids probably on a much smaller basis, but still very impactful. But through Outdoors Tomorrow, I'm able to leverage that and reach hundreds of thousands of kids at a time by scaling this program.
No, I think that's so fantastic, because what it does is it's giving the kids the opportunity to be outdoors where maybe they don't, based on the school that they're at. They really don't get to see what it's like outside the schools in their neighborhood, whatever neighborhood they're living in, and seeing it's a different lifestyle, a different type of situation. I remember when I was a kid, the schools, alternative schools that I would go to that were private schools, they would have us do a lot of outdoor work, where we would go camping and we would learn about each other and learn about community and learning about how to get along with each other in a different atmosphere, sleeping in the same place versus saying goodbye at 3:00. You really build those relationships that are people that are not always just the athletes, it's everyone in between. Kind of explain that, where, you know, you're getting kids to interact of all different backgrounds and different things, which really helps them build that well-roundedness for moving on as an adult.
You know, Neil, we reach the non-involved student. So if you figure at and we're K through 12 as well, by the way. So if you figure at a typical private public school anywhere in the country, if you don't play a sport and you're not in band, you're not involved. So there is really nothing else for you to develop those core friendships and develop something that you're going to be passionate about for the rest of your life. So that's where we come in. And if you can participate in any one of the interactive lessons that we do, you'll learn a myriad of different skills that kids can take, not only take home, but they can take on for the rest of their life and get into any one of these different outdoor skills.
You know, I love what you said about sports and band. You're absolutely right. Like I've got grandkids that go to a big school, and if they're not involved in anything, they hardly know any kids. There's no connection. And connection is so important. And I would think that because of being outside and the skills that you teach with this, that the kids would bond, like there'd be a natural bonding. Are you finding that happens?
Very much so. And you're developing so many different skills over the course of 2 semesters that it's a way for the teacher to connect with the students. And I'll jump in on one of those too. Right here, and I live in Fort Worth, Texas, but just right across the Metroplex, we hear so many wonderful stories every single day. You know, and there's a wonderful story in Allen, Texas. The PE teacher at the time, they had just adopted Outdoor Adventures. And, you know, he was going and finding kids, you know, right after school, we're just going across the street to like the local Sonic and local fast food places and just hanging out for hours. There is nothing for them to connect to at school, and they're not playing band and they're not in the sport. And this is one of the ways that he went around and asked all those students to kind of give a poll for that and kind of check, kind of find out through a survey of what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do for outdoor skills? And all the kids said they have, you know, they have nothing to do in the outdoors. They don't know anything about it. And just as simple as, where does your meat come from? Where do your vegetables come from? And do you know what the most common answer is?
What?
Supermarket.
Oh man. Even, that's surprising. It depends on the part of Texas, right?
When we poll students around the country, the most common answer of where it actually comes from, where the origin is, supermarket. This is a tough time. This is where you wonder where, how much time do you spend on an iPad or iPhone versus learning about anything outdoors, even where your food comes from.
Right. Now let's talk about schools that you're involved with. You're in Texas, but you're nationwide doing this, helping with the school. Yeah,
we are. We're only lacking Delaware and Connecticut. So if you know anyone in Delaware or Connecticut, we would love to have those contacts.
They should be involved. They should be. I know 4-H was part of your life growing up, and I kind of picture this as sort of a 4-H kind of a thing, where I was in 4-H too. And the bonds that I made are, I still have friends from 4-H. But 4-H isn't available everywhere. It's not available in every school and seems to be a more rural kind of a thing. So to be in the inner cities, how is that different? Or what do you see different with the kids, or the, do you have to tweak the program at all? Or what are the differences?
Just for scale, 4-H, and especially, it's huge in Texas. It has a presence around the rest of the country, but it is really big here. But you tend to, just like you said, you tend to only reach that, the rural setting. And even within a rural setting, you have to have parents that are willing to take you to the events on a regular basis. So just for that to happen is pretty difficult. And just by the numbers, a much, much, much larger statistic of kids are never going to get the opportunity. It was a core part of my life, and it was a wonderful program. But even that only lasts a few months out of the year, where we try and target all of the best parts of this over a 2-semester period, and you're reaching every child. And one of the really fun parts too, I say we don't reach the band or sports, but they have the opportunity to take the class as well. And after the first year, we statistically have about a 30% buildup of students that aren't able to take the course because they're completely full. So it is typically the most sought after course in the school once they have it for a year.
So Sean, what are the challenges for this foundation? What are you moving forward? You got the grant, but there's still more fundraising available. How can you serve so much even before this, before this grant? And what are the goals for the foundation moving forward after that?
You know, we're on track this year to reach about 40,000 new kids. And we're looking for that scalability to reach 200,000 kids a year. And the key part there, and one of the biggest challenges in education, it varies. By the way, I'm not an educator. I didn't come into Outdoors Tomorrow as an educator. And the folks that run are the education side of the foundation, they're incredible people, by the way. They're some of the most passionate, wonderful people. But it is incredibly difficult not being an educator to try and reach reaching individual PE teachers. And most of the folks, the vast majority that teach Outdoor Adventures are not outdoors people. So you're a PE teacher at a school, and then you're getting all the training both from Outdoors Tomorrow and from state agencies and resource agencies for the state. So those are typically, the training part is easy. The reaching the administrator at the school, and that could be anywhere K through 12, or reaching the PE teacher at the school to even let them know that we exist. Those are two of the biggest challenges there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about that? Like, what has been successful in reaching teachers and administrators?
That is a great question. Being our biggest challenge, it's finding people in the physical education space that have those nationwide contacts. That is the number one. But anything helps. Anything helps from any type of social media. If you know about the outdoors and you know how incredible the impact can be having nature in your life and understanding what sustainable use does in your life and the impact that it can have on kids at a very young age, a positive impact for that matter, that's the message. And that's the message we're trying to get kids outside and trying to get that message to administrators.
So it's interesting, Sean, my background, again, I'm a former teacher. So I'm very passionate by this program, and I have a lot of clients who I work with, that I provide social media for and podcasting that are, in the education field. So I'm definitely going to connect you to more to see if we can get more and more schools to help that process in this networking phase, because I think it's the biggest challenge today is we cannot get people on the telephone. We cannot find these influencers because the challenge is picking up the phone and calling them. And that process is the biggest, hardest thing. Social media reaches them. My show reaches them. But to have them to take that action, what are the steps involved when it comes to a school that wants to be involved in a program, your program? What do they have to go about doing?
We've been refining that process. This is just today even. But building a comprehensive e-commerce system through our website that walks you through that entire process has made it so much easier just in the last few months here. But the process before that is going to our website or going to a catalog like Gopher is one that a lot of teachers use around the country are easy ways to find us. And you're looking for the Outdoor Adventures program.
Are you reaching out? One more question, and I'll let you go. I'll let him with that question. Do you allow private schools as well to be involved in this program, or is it just public?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. Public and private, anyone in between, and we can even translate it as well for other countries.
Oh, wow.
I love that. That's amazing. So if anybody's listening and they're involved in a school where you are not there yet, but they're passionate about what they're hearing and they think it'd be so great for their school. Do you ever get any individuals that fund it for a school?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the most special ways that there can be support for a school. So we have individuals that will do funding for an individual school all the way up to regions and entire cities. So we have some incredible folks do that. We had one gentleman do that in Virginia. I mean, brought on about 30 schools at a time. And the typical starter package for a school is about $1,250. That's a starter package for equipment and curriculum, everything you need to get going.
Wow. Wow. That's so $100,000 is going to go a long way at that amount of money. But also, there's got to be a lot of people watching this that have that kind of money and can change how many lives, you know, how many lives to get started. The kids have to change. I mean, it's got to be just the healthiest thing. I'm sure parents are pleased with this. What kind of feedback do you get from the parents?
Better attitude, better attendance in school, and overall disposition is much better.
There's such education needs a huge reinvention after COVID. As I'm talking to a lot of my colleagues in the education field, and we need this new revival in education because teachers had to go through so much, kids had to go through so much, and allowing a program like that again. So the best place, Sean, again, to find info on you and stuff, and where can they go?
GoOTF.com, GoOTF.com.
We appreciate it, Sean. Thanks again.
Oh, thank y'all. Wonderful.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.